Hi, this is John Kilbratt from Robinhood Crypto, where we are democratizing finance for the masses, including our new self-custody wallet. You're listening to the Edge of NFT, where you get to take custody of the latest Web3 news. Keep listening.
Hey, Web3 curious listeners, stay tuned for a great show to learn how Johan Kerbrat transitioned from tech giant engineer to steering Robinhood's expansive vision, making digital assets accessible to all. And get the scoop on Robinhood's groundbreaking price transparency study and its role in establishing a new bang for your buck benchmark in crypto trading. Also, you'll get a closer look at the innovative new Robinhood wallet, bringing a self-custody option forward for all its users. All this and more, jump in for an enlightening journey into the future of finance.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and myself, Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests. It's another production of the Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, and responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like the Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Today's episode features Johan Kerbrat, the visionary general manager of Robinhood Crypto, steering the company's crypto ventures across the USA and Europe and spearheading the innovative Robinhood wallet. With a rich background that includes the VP of engineering at Ironfish, engineering roles at tech giants Airbnb and Uber, and founding an e-commerce and payments platform, Johan's career is a testament to his passion for technology, product strategy, and leadership. Holding an MSc in software engineering from Oxford Brookes University, Johan is dedicated to expanding Robinhood's crypto exchange business and making digital assets widely accessible to retail investors, embodying a profound entrepreneurial spirit and a commitment to democratizing finance. Robinhood is grounded in the belief that the financial market should be accessible to all and is on a mission to level the playing field. By making trading intuitive, affordable, and inclusive, Robinhood is challenging longstanding industry barriers to ensure that everyone, irrespective of their financial background, can engage with the financial system. From its inception at Stanford to its revolutionary impact today, Robinhood has consistently focused on creating products that empower individual investors to invest at their own pace and on their own terms, coupled with educational resources designed for the modern learner. Under the mantra of democratizing finance for all, Robinhood is reshaping the landscape of the financial education and investment globally, ensuring that the financial system is built to work for everyone. All right. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing good. You know, this has been one on our radar for a while that I've been looking forward to. You know, I remember when Robinhood came out of the gate and what a meaningful impact it had in terms of, like we talked about in the intro, democratizing finance. And now here we are with ETFs and all sorts of additional onboarding routes for folks. And in a lot of ways, you guys have been a pioneer and a sort of trendsetter in that area.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, it's the main reason why I joined Robinhood back in the days. I didn't get a ton of financial education when I was in high school or college or anything. And you know, when I started to use Robinhood, I was actually starting to be able to handle my finance and start investing in stock and equities. And yeah, really, I think, you know, it was a big change for a lot of people. And we are trying to do the same thing for crypto at this point.
Makes sense. What's your sort of crypto journey look like? When did it start?
Yeah, it started a while ago, I will say now. You know, back in 2010, 2009, I actually had a small company before I kind of went to college. And at the time, we were building payments rails for e-commerce websites and small apps. And at the same time, there was also this kind of financial crisis that happened both in the US and in Europe, where I come from. And I, you know, at the time, I just thought that there should be a better way than having central bank that kind of decide everything, and the kind of the decision for me was like when I started to read the first white paper for Bitcoin and realized that, you know, maybe this was it. And so we started to build payments rail for Bitcoin. And, you know, of course, at the time it was very early, very difficult to use, but it's something that I kept, you know, always looking at. And then, you know, moved to different roles in engineering, went to different startups here in the Valley. And then, you know, a few years ago, I joined Robinhood as the CTO for the crypto business. And, you know, my goal when I joined was really to say, how can we make crypto more accessible? It's, as an engineer, I always thought that crypto was made by engineer for technical people, for other engineer. We didn't really thought about making it accessible to everyone and not think about the underlying technology. So the goal at Robinhood is to make it as accessible as possible right now.
Right on. And, you know, I guess a major step in that direction was your announcement in December of 2023, which was that you're expanding to the European Union. So how's that been going so far?
Yeah, it was, you know, a big project. It was something that is dear to my heart. You know, as a French guy, I wanted to be able to tell my friends and family to use Robinhood as well, because it's not something that really exists, in my opinion, in the EU. And so we launched in December. That was a very big endeavor. And right now it's a very simple product. You know, we are only supporting trading of a small amount of assets, but we've been trying to focus on really building the most trusted platform and the lowest cost one. So, you know, our goal is to get our customer to see that they get more crypto for their money when they buy on Robinhood in the EU. And, you know, we are going to try to keep expanding slowly on in terms of features and in terms of market where we're accessible and open to more people. But, you know, the EU for us opened a very large market of hundreds of millions of customers. So we want to really spend time on it and expand there.
Are you able to speak to sort of the volume in Europe at this point relative to sort of what it was like launching in the US? I'm just kind of curious how the European market responded to this type of product.
Yeah, so far the, you know, we got a lot of excitement from customers and that's what we really wanted to see. We, you know, as a public company, we don't necessarily publish volume for specific product until they get to a meaningful point, but I think so far we are pretty excited by the way people have been engaging with the product. And, you know, for us, it's just the beginning. I think there is a lot more to do, a lot more features to add, and we'll be able to really be competitive in the market.
Makes sense. And obviously one component of accessibility is sort of the trading cost, right? There's a huge variance in the crypto space on trading costs, even though there's a lot of exchanges out there. And, you know, I would wager just a large variance in general in the market around trading costs. And it was interesting to learn that, you know, a study came out last September that, you know, you have the lowest cost to trade crypto on average, where users could actually receive 3.5% more crypto on Robinhood, which I find that pretty remarkable. That was interesting to me. I didn't know that fact. Can you talk more about these results and sort of how are you able to do that? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that is really personal to me. Like I don't want to sound like a broken record because I just talked about it for the EU a bit, but I really think that if we want to get crypto in more hands and if we want people to really embrace this, that we need to start cutting costs everywhere we can. You know, it's a very frustrating experience for somebody. They want to buy an NFT, let's say. You know, they will go on one of these platforms, go from fiat to crypto, they pay your fees, and they transfer, they pay your fees, and they have to buy the NFT, they pay your fee. You know, like the experience is not great. And what we realized last year is that, you know, when some of the other exchanges went down, like FTX, there was less competition, and therefore, like, some competitors have increased their pricing by quite a large amount, and in ways that are not always very transparent. And that's really something that, you know, hit me, because I was, you know, really trying to find ways for customers to embrace more the technology, and I don't think we are going to do that by just increasing prices. And so, you know, we looked at it and we realized that some competitors charge a fee, some charge a fee and a markup on the spread, and it's just very complicated. So we embraced like something completely different. We went full transparent. So if you place a trade on Robinhood now, you will see that we show you the total spread. We'll show you how much we make from the spread, and we'll show you the quantity of crypto you will get for the dollar amount that you're spending. And that's really what, you know, customers should focus on, is looking at this quantity and compare it with other platform. And you know, you will see that you know, you will get more on Robinhood compared to other platform. And we are fairly happy with this change. I think transparency is good. I think it's, you know, part of the ethos of like crypto in general. And we've seen like some customers starting to realize that. Like we saw like a couple of tweets like a week or so ago where people were comparing all pricing to other platform and realizing that they could get a lot more every week. And you know, for us, that's something that we are really proud of, or at least I am, because it was really part of the mission that I joined Robinhood initially, was to make it more accessible, and I think we'll do it by doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I've read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and a lot of people have increased their financial literacy, I think, over the last decade. And the power of compounding starts with having a higher principal, right? Like,
exactly.
When it goes up, it goes up exponentially if you have a higher base to work with.
Exactly, and it's something, you know, we offer, like, for example, DCA. A lot of people don't want to time the market, you know, they don't want to buy X crypto at a very specific time because they don't know if it's going to go up or down. So we offer a recurring investment where you can decide to, I don't know, spend $10 worth of crypto every week. And, you know, the revenues that we make from these orders are exactly the same that it's like 10x the amount. Where, like, if you look at some competitors, they will actually charge you a lot more for small order than the larger one. So, you know, all of that goes against, you know, our principles. We think that, you know, if you're a customer and you want to use a DCA strategy to invest, you should not have higher costs than someone who's just spending like more in one time.
Makes sense. And then what's the sort of range of tokens that can be purchased at this point in the US and then in Europe? And so how frequently are you adding new products?
Yeah, in the US, we have 15 assets, including one stable coin. The French accent sometimes is hard to understand.
I haven't had my full cup of coffee for the day either.
But yeah, we have 15, including one stable coin. And, you know, we think that we have what most of our customers have been asking for in the US. In the EU, it's a bit of a different market. You know, there is a different regulation. There is different type of customer there. And we have a few more assets, like we are a bit more than 25. And it's something where we're going to keep, you know, exploring with our customer if they are interested in more assets, and if they are, we might consider to add them. But, you know, overall, every asset that we list on the platform goes through a fairly long committee and process, and so, you know, it's pretty hard for us to explain which one will be listed at some point.
Makes sense. I think, you know, you all are putting a high degree of scrutiny on those decisions, which, you know, one would have to do if you're appealing to a much broader audience, right? And hopefully some of the SEC's sort of ambiguity clears up in the forthcoming year, maybe post-presidential election, and that could sort of open up more possible listings for you.
Yeah, it's definitely something, you know, we're constantly watching what we can support in the future, and we'll keep evaluating. Or, like I said, we have this listing committee that constantly kind of watches what's happening in the market, and we'll definitely keep doing this at this point.
So I feel like all the conversation we've had up to now is like the appetizer, and the main course is the Robinhood wallet. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of news about Robinhood and what it is and what it isn't. And, you know, this is pretty awesome. And this is one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show, is that you've moved to the non-custodial space. Could you talk a little bit more about the vision behind Robinhood Wallet and what it's doing for the user experience for crypto enthusiasts, how folks have responded? Because this was the yeah, but sort of thing that was sort of floating out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for us, the wallet has been a huge project as well. We talk to a lot of our customers, and it's something that I actually love doing, you know, is having discussion with people that are trying to use our product and telling us what they like, what they don't like, what they're missing. And we actually realized that a lot of people want to get into Web3. They want to go on NFT marketplace. They want to use dApps. They want to play games on the Web3 space, but they are just getting lost when they start using wallets. And it's not necessarily like that they are lost for bad reason. It's just, I think, you know, like I said earlier, like the crypto world has been very tech focused, and people have to think a lot about things before they can engage really with the product. And so we decided that, you know, if we really wanted to be part of this community, we also needed to have our own self-custody wallet where people could transfer their asset on it and really keep having the same UI and UX that they are used to on Robinhood, but have all the you know, potential of Web3 and be able to access all the dApps that they are interested in. And so we built a wallet in that way. So for example, one of the first features we launched was gasless swap, which at the time was like something pretty uncommon. And the reason for gasless swap was we saw that a lot of customers wanted to be able to swap, but they didn't have like the right gas token. And so they were blocked and needed to go back to other centralized exchange and try to get the gas token. So, you know, really simplified this experience, and slowly we kept adding on it. But I really think, you know, it's kind of the best of the two worlds. You know, customers that don't want to trust Robinhood or any kind of centralized exchange can decide that, you know, they will transfer to the self-custody wallet where they have the control of the keys, it's their keys, their coins. And customers that don't necessarily feel like they have the right setup to keep the control of their key, you know, they can keep it on Robinhood Crypto, and we'll keep their assets safe, like we've always done. And so, you know, I think being able to offer the range of options is really what is going to be a differentiator for us. We can be the platform that beginners, that, you know, are the first time crypto user can use, and we can also be the platform that, you know, more advanced people can actually use as well.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than MainCard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With MainCard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to MainCard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode.
Very cool. Really exciting to see this out there. And I'm sure the community has responded really well to it. I guess there's a feature in the app that sort of supports Ethereum swaps from across multiple networks. Is that accurate? Could you sort of elaborate on some of the features of the wallet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, we really wanted to start adding features, and we were keeping a lot of the team working on it to make sure that we can keep up with what our customer are asking. And one of the things that we realized is that, you know, gasless swap was good for a lot of our customer base, but not as good for more advanced customers. So we started to add Ethereum swap. We also started to add swap on different L2s. And it's something that we'll, you know, keep adding. Our goal is kind of the same as for Robin Crypto. We wanna give as much value as possible to the customer. And you know, right now we haven't made a study on the wallet on pricing, but we think we are fairly competitive as well, and we think we can you know, give more value to customer. And the next thing, you know, that we worked on a lot is self-custody. We know that a lot of our customer wanted to be able to have the control of their crypto, and so we added the support for Bitcoin and Dogecoin on the wallet. And yeah, we have more news coming up pretty soon, but our goal is really to make it easy for people to access more dApps and the Web3 world, basically.
Nice. And can you, so you support Bitcoin, Dogecoin, a classic in our space, Ethereum. Can you swap among all of those coins universally, or are you swapping from one to a base coin and then to the other?
Yeah, right now we don't support all like kind of atomic swap between like Bitcoin and Dogecoin and Ethereum, but on the Ethereum network, you will be able to do a lot more swaps and get some of the wrapped token there if you want to.
Nice. And what are some of the sort of other features you're thinking about? Obviously, things that you can talk about publicly at this point, or maybe just some of the ideas that you're thinking about in terms of the user experience, which seems to be a primary focus of yours.
Yeah, you know, I think for us, there's a big focus in the EU. Like I said earlier, we think we're already at the beginning. We think that the market needs disruption and needs players like us to come and drive more value to customers. So we're going to keep focusing on that. We already announced that we are about to launch staking and deposit and withdrawal in the EU, and we'll keep adding more features as we learn from our customers. And in the US, you know, really, one of the things that I want to drive home this year is our competitive advantage on pricing and transparency. It's something that, you know, is really dear to my heart. I think I want to make sure that people understand when they buy on our platform what they get and what they don't get when they go on another platform. So we're going to keep focusing on that. And for the wallet, you know, I think for us the main focus is to make it more accessible. So we are doing a lot of discussion with customers to understand how they use it, and we'll keep adding features very soon on that one.
Cool. We're all about edutainment on this show, and you know, we have a pretty broad audience of folks, and you know, I appreciate sort of your mission to sort of make crypto more accessible to everyone and at a lower cost, because I think we're at a place in the world where there's a lot of unpredictable aspects of what the future looks like. But the more you can sort of have control over your financial decisions and know that you're getting the most potential ROI for making those choices, you know, I think the better. And, you know, obviously I'm a little bit more bullish on the blockchain space than the average human. You know, we started this show almost 3 years ago, and you know, I've seen how the space has changed so many lives, you know. So yeah. You know, I appreciate what you're doing there, and thank you for your efforts. Any sort of, before we move on to the next segment, any closing thoughts on the broader sort of Web3 space, NFT space, things that you're looking at that you're excited about in our space?
Yeah, I look at a lot of things, to be honest. You know, for me, as a technologist, I really like anything where there's really a big differentiator. for example, zero knowledge proof is something that I spend a lot of time on in my previous career and now as well, because it's something that I think can change lives, not just on the blockchain space, but in different application as well, like handling like personal information and documents and things like this. So, you know, always interested about the technology. I think the blockchain sometimes get caught into the speculation aspect of things. And so, you know, for me, like as a human and personal being, not a representative of a company, what I'm really excited about is, you know, all the use case that we start seeing from the crypto world or from the NFT space. And that's going to be very exciting, I think, in the next few years as well.
Yeah, I just had an opportunity to interview Eric Pleyer, who actually invented NFTs in 2015. Are you familiar with Eric?
I don't know him personally, but I've heard of him, of course. Yeah.
All right. Well, he's always at his favorite hangout, the bar that he owns in Santa Monica, Harvel's. So if you're in LA, we can we can go hang out with Eric together. But that was sort of his message on our show. It was actually on our Edge of AI show, but we're going to put the clip on YouTube. It will be on YouTube before this airs. And, you know, he talked about sort of some of the same things that you talked about, why he thought of NFTs as a potential sort of new asset class and its capabilities sort of to support other existing financial instruments and sort of create a sense of true ownership. And I think a lot of that had gotten lost in the hype cycle of NFTs. And now people are sort of using NFTs in a more intentional way as a sort of a tool in the toolkit. So, you know, that's why I continue to be excited about this space. And we've had folks like yourself on and Adidas and Hennessy and Mercedes and Yuga. And, you know, these guys have real intentionality behind these projects. And I think we're just, and of course, don't get me started with all the gaming use cases. I think we're just starting to see the true potential of a non-fungible tokens, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, every new technology at the beginnings as you know, needs time to find itself and find a true purpose. And you can think about even like the internet at the beginning. But, you know, I think we're just getting started there. And some of the applications that we're starting to see are bringing a lot of values and are bringing a lot of new use cases that I don't think we thought were possible like 3 years ago or back in 2017 when the first few NFTs came out. So, you know, very excited about the space overall.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. We're going to move on to our next segment, Edge Quick Hitters. All right, Johan, I know you've done a lot of content and podcasts before, but hopefully this is your first time sort of in front of the firing squad for a fun segment we call Edge Quick Hitters. This is a segment where we get to know you a little better. There's going to be 10 quick questions. We're just looking for short, single word or few word responses, but feel free to expand if you get the urge. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right. What is the first thing you remember ever purchasing in your life?
I think it would have been a comic book.
A coloring book? Comic book.
Yeah, comic book, yeah.
Okay, cool. Did you build up quite a collection?
I did. At the time, I was a big fan of comic books, so I had a full library of them after 10 years, maybe.
And then, you know, I have this, my ex-roommate just reminded me before I moved from DC to LA that he still has 16 boxes of stuff that I left with him. And I don't actually know what's in any of the boxes. That's the problem with collecting, right? What was some of your favorite comics?
You know, they're French comics, so I don't know if the audience will know, but there's this one called Asterix, which is like a a Breton guy from the Roman time, and it was pretty fun for me at the time.
Cool. Well, we'll put it in our show notes, and folks can check it out. What is the first thing you remember ever selling in your life?
Oh, that's a tougher one. I was always kind of programming when I was young, you know, very early. So I probably sold some kind of website or software to somebody.
All right. Well, that's not something we usually hear. So that's pretty entrepreneurial. It says a lot about your career. What's the most recent thing you sold?
Most recent thing I sold. I'm not sure actually. I have a 2 years old, and he kind of grew up of all his baby stuff, and so I've been giving away or selling, you know, on Craigslist a lot of his stuff from like his baby years. So probably something related to that.
Nice. And what is your most prized possession?
Oh, that's a good one as well.
I see a guitar back there, but it's not like, it's not, you know, engraved or anything.
Definitely not a guitar. I have this knife that my grandpa used to use for everything. We'll use it for at the table or for cutting something if it was in the forest. So I kept it with me. It's actually on my desk, and you know, I always like looking at it and remembering the good time with him.
Nice. I went to Japan with my girlfriend, and we got this really beautiful knife over there that is one of her favorites. And you know, the knives can be like a sacred object if you choose the right one, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's an old one. He used it for, you know, all his life, and it's still in a great state. So absolutely.
Cool. And you can kind of like think of all the energy in that knife from all that history, right? It's pretty yeah. magical. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
What is if you could buy anything in the world, digital, physical, service, or experience that's currently for sale, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question as well. I've always dreamed to go to space and, you know, see the Earth from above. I think now you can start buying like these trips to go to space and do that. So maybe something like this. I don't know if it's easy to buy, but maybe.
Nice. I was just listening to the podcast with Bill Gates and Lex Fridman about what he's doing with space exploration and advancement. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that one.
No, but if it's a good one, I'm happy to listen to that now.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours of like conversation around like deep space technology. So I think you might enjoy.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
If you could pass on one of your personality traits to the next generation, what would it be?
I'm fairly calm, and I don't necessarily stress easily. So I think it's a quality, or I think it's good at least to be able to stay calm. So something like this.
Yeah, it certainly helps with you know, executing launches for a publicly traded company, right?
It is helpful, you know, when there are issues, to be able to stay calm and understand what the problem is and all these things.
Nice. If you could eliminate one of your personality traits from the next generation, what would it be?
I don't know. You know, I think sometimes not having enough confidence or doubting can be, I mean, I think overall, you know, I'm very happy with where I am, but sometimes I'm sure I would have been even more happy in life if I didn't have, you know, doubts or things like this.
Yeah, live life in spite of our fears, right?
Exactly.
What did you do just before joining us on the podcast?
Well, I was just with this 2 years old that I mentioned. So, you know, getting him ready to school and to go to school, and we had breakfast together. He painted the entire table and myself in yogurt. So, you know, the fun stuff of having kids.
Does he have a strong personality yet?
He has a very strong personality, and he doesn't have the calm aspect that I was mentioning just before. So it's a wild toddler right now.
Well, hopefully he'll inherit that trait from you in due time. What are you going to do next after the podcast?
Well, you know, it's a work day, so after this, a lot of meetings and discussion about what we're going to build next for our customers.
Johan, that was so much fun. Thanks for letting us get to know you a little bit better. And we like to end with a bonus question. And in this case, I think the right one is, looking forward at all the different advancements in blockchain, what's the technology feature coming up on the horizon that's most exciting to you, and why?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think I mentioned it a bit before. Zero knowledge proof is something that I'm very interested in. I think it's a great way for people to be able to verify, you know, information like their identity or if a transaction happened, without necessarily like showing their entire life or their entire history if it's a transaction. And then, you know, I think there's also a lot of innovation happening on the AI space. You know, it's a bit of the talk of the year, I think, after the different like advancements between OpenAI and Gemini at Google and all these things. So, you know, I think AI is going to go through a lot of the same issues that cryptocurrency has been through in the past, between regulation, censorship, and all these things. And so I'm actually interested to see how the two will maybe combine and merge at some point and work toward the same goal, which is, you know, overall decentralization and transparency.
All right. Well, thanks for playing along with us. Let's move on to our last segment called Shout Out, where we get to highlight someone in your orbit that may not get the limelight on a regular basis, but has a big impact in your world. Who comes to mind?
A quick word from our sponsors, who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuber Lawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a personal, like if it's one person or if it's a group of people, but, you know, I think as the head of the business, I get to go on all this stage and podcast, and I think, you know, I want the listener to know that there's an entire team and group working behind and working to make our product better for customers. So, you know, a lot of them are working long hours during weekends, during nights, to make sure that everything works perfectly for our customers. And, you know, I think sometimes I forget to thank them. So, you know, a big shout out to them, I guess.
Yeah, a big team at Robinhood at this point. How many folks do you have?
I actually don't even know, but it's definitely a lot larger than when I joined a few years ago. We've been trying to ramp up all different departments working on crypto.
Nice. Well, where can listeners go to learn more about what's going on with the projects you're working on and at Robinhood?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they can go on the website. We have a crypto section where we describe a lot of the new product that we're launching. And, you know, I will say at the end of the day, the best way to learn about it is to try it. And so, you know, if customers want to download it and try and give us feedback, that's the best way for us to really improve and make sure that we help them get into that space.
Right on. Thanks again for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Josh. It was fun.
We've reached the outer limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got space for more adventures on this starship. So invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers that will make this journey all so much better. How? If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now. Rate us and say something awesome. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass this episode to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in next time for more great Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.